from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. This is a time of hope.
As we start our broadcast this morning, I want to let everyone know that our church is having Vacation Bible School from July 17th through the 21st in the evening from 6:30 to 8:30. It's for kids age 3 through elementary school, through those who have completed the 5th grade. It's entitled Heroes Central. They're going to learn to do good, seek peace, and go after it. And for you parents and grandparents, your kids and grandkids are certainly invited. You can call the church office at 796-4885 for more information. As we begin our broadcast, I want to mention that we were pleased to have the California Community Ensemble present our special music. Our children's time is by our church member Brian Wolford. Carla Clennon reads the Old Testament scripture during this service, and of course our worship leader and the giver of our message is our interim pastor, Reverend Gene Maul.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary.
Praise Him for His mighty
deeds. Praise Him according
to His surpassing greatness.
Praise Him with trumpet sound.
Praise Him with lute and harp.
Praise Him with tambourine and dance.
Praise Him with strings and pipe.
Praise Him with clanging cymbals.
Praise Him with loud crashing cymbals.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We pray together the prayer of the day for this the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Oh God,
you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Hold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Holy God,
who knows us each by name, we call ourselves righteous. We name ourselves as your disciples. We believe that we have been sent to offer your welcome to those with needs and pains and sorrows, that we have not always heard those pleas and cries. We have only heard our own voices. Gracious God,
sends His Holy Spirit to empower us to speak through our words and act through deeds of love and mercy as we welcome the stranger in need.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. What do you think I have in my sack today? Anybody guess? Take a guess. What do you think it is, Chloe? You don't know? Hunter, what is it? Brenna, what is it?
You know, I'm not.
Look at this. What is that? Pineapple. Have any of y'all seen a pineapple like this before? That's how they grow. Take it. Pass it around. Smell it. It's neat. It's awesome. I'm going to share with you some interesting facts about pineapples that you may not know. Do you know in some parts of the world, a pineapple is a sign of welcome? It's true. Some people have pineapples carved into the wood on the entry of their house. Others have little door knockers made out of brass that are in the shape of pineapples. And some people even have pineapples carved on bedposts or on banister posts on your stairs. It's long ago, before we had airplanes and really fast boats that could get us pineapples before they spoiled, people could only enjoy them if they went to tropical parts of the world. Like Hawaii, they grow a lot of pineapples there. Explorers returning from these voyages sometimes brought pineapples to their king. and the sailors would often stick them on the posts on their ship when they returned from sea. As a result of this custom, the pineapple sort of became a sign of welcoming new people. Blame it to those Navy folks for strange traditions, right, Phil? There are many kinds of welcomes. How do you guys welcome people? What are some other ways? Besides giving them some nice, fresh pineapple. You can say hi. You can smile at them. You can shake their hand. When you go to your grandma and grandpa's house, you get lots of hugs and kisses from them. You get kisses from your grandma? Yeah. Does that embarrass you? Your grandma's sweet. All of these things are done to make others feel welcome and accepted and also comfortable when meeting new people. You guys see some new people here this morning that you haven't seen before? Yeah? Well, be sure to smile at them and welcome them and shake their hand and say, "Nice to meet you. Glad you guys are here." What does this have to do with Jesus? Well, as Christians, we especially want others to feel accepted and welcome. Jesus tells us in the Bible, that's in our verse today that we're going to learn, it says, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sends me." What that means is if we're out doing works for Jesus and we welcome people and they receive us, they're also receiving Jesus through us, and through that they're getting God's love. So when we make someone feel welcome, comfortable, and accepted, we're sharing the love of Jesus who represents God the Father. And we're all members of the welcome team. Let's have a prayer. Dear Father, help us to remember that when we refuse to welcome others to our homes and our church and our lives, it's the same as refusing to welcome you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our California Community Ensemble, directed by Phil Lewis, is playing Risk Everything for a Dream.
Today is from Romans 6, verses 12 through 23. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obedient their passions, but do yield your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield yourself to God as men who have brought from death to life, and the members of to God of instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are you to sin because you are under the law, but under grace? By no means do not know what you have yielded yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves. You are slaves of one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to Lord God that you who once were slaves of sin have become obedient from the hearts to standard and teaching of which to you command, and having seen set free of sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking of the human term because of your natural limitations, for just as you once yielded your members to impurity and the greater inequality, so now yield your member to the righteousness of your sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But then what you returned did you get from things of which you are now ashamed? To the end, those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God and returned to your in sanctification, its end, eternal life. For the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends our first lesson.
Our holy gospel for today is from the 10th chapter of St. Matthew. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of righteousness. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Several years ago, I was at a church meeting, and there was a speaker there by the name of Dr. Murray Haar, who grew up in a Jewish home, and his father would ask him after school, not what did you learn today, but his father would ask him, did you ask a good question today? Did you ask a good question? And we have good questions today from our first reading of Romans. It's a continuation of last week, which talked about sin and grace. And the answer was great. Paul would speak out boldly about this. Paul was not like the person we came to know as Silent Cal. We're talking about President Calvin Coolidge. He never had much to say. I'm not sure he would have done very well in a presidential debate today. Certainly not on Twitter. But he was a religious person, but a man of few words. And he attended church regularly. And one Sunday his wife was ill, so President Cal attended by himself. Of course, when he got home from the worship service, his wife wanted to know what was going on. So she asked, how was church today? Fine. Well, wishing more. How was the sermon? Fine. What did the minister preach about? Sin. And what did he say about sin? He was against it. That was it. Well, Paul was far more bold with that when he talked about this subject and when he talked about this matter of sin. If we think of the beginning of this chapter from last week, the question was, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Now Paul continues the questions. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means, came the answer very quickly. By no means. When we live under grace, we realize that we are not slaves of sin, but slaves of righteousness. Righteousness, he would say. We are given the choice of identities here. It's not what we are, but who we are. Who we are. And the two look alike.
we're under sin, we're grace. You know, the director Phil here is the same height whether he's under one thing or the other. He doesn't change. You know, or we don't have a size 38 suit instead of a 42 just because we're under grace. Although sometimes we wish we did, you know, kind of thing. You know, now it's not how we appear, but who we are attracted to and who we are attached to. That's what's at stake here. Sin and evil will really bring slavery. But the call here today is to be free. To be free. Given over to God in reality, it breaks the chains. It brings freedom. It brings liberation. And in the end, eternal life. Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And it is knowing that we are wrapped in God's grace, no matter what, no matter what, and to really relish that for our lives. There was a young man and a doctor who were talking after a troublesome report about the illness of his mother. And the man said, "Well, all we can do now is pray and hope that she has paid her dues." And the doctor said, "Well, what I gave you tonight was bad news. I realize that what you just said to me was worse news. I hope you do not rely on paying dues." And the son said, "What do you mean? Everybody's got to pay their dues." And the doctor said, "No, nobody can pay their dues. What do we have to pay with?" "I think you forgot who we owe dues to. God. He created the world and keeps it going. It's His already. Everything we have, all that we are, it all belongs to Him." And the son said, "But we've got to do something, don't we?" And the doctor said, "Yes, but not as a required payment or a quota that we have to meet." And he held out his hands. He had a stethoscope in there. And he says, I was given these hands. I was given my head. I was given my skill. I was given my life. What I do with them, that's my gift to God. I do not pay dues. I give thanks. I give thanks." And the son said, "How do I know my mother will go to heaven?" And the doctor said, "Because the dues have already been paid." See, the dues have already been paid. Jesus took our sins to the cross. And that makes all the difference in the world. The wages of sin is death. But only death to meet those wages is Christ's death. Your mother cannot pay the dues. She does not have anything to pay with. And she does not need to pay dues. They have already been paid. Yes, that's how it is with each one of us as we find ourselves wrapped in God's grace. Now, the disciples were pretty sure of that gift as they went in mission. They were sent forth in Jesus' name as Christs to one another. And we also go in mission. And the question has been answered because we know who we are. Now we are called to be caring as well. To be caring. And that's our life of thanks. He who receives or welcomes me welcomes me as well. And he who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me and cares for me. And here it talks about bringing a cup of cold water. Didn't say anything about bringing a pineapple, but maybe that would have worked too. But it says bring a cup of cold water. And I always think about back in my seminary days, we had this one professor, T.I. Jensen was his name, or he called it. I think he taught a class we called Dogmatics. But it was a class in which you started with the faith. Was it this way or that way? I even probably talked for hours on which came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, kind of thing. But one day, there were some of us who were out on a walk in town. I think it was a crop walk. And we happened to come past where he resided, his house. And so we said, we'll just go to the door and we'll say, "Would you be willing to do your Christian duty and give us a cup of cold water?" Which he did, willingly. And I'll never forget that time in our lives and this text when it comes up about bringing a cup of cold water, because How welcome that is on a hot day. Indeed, we are called to be a refuge for people, to help them to be refreshed and then return to service. It's like becoming a sanctuary from life and all of its struggles and ills and things that happen. But then we become a sanctuary then for life as we go out again in His name. There is a little town in northwest Wisconsin, but the town's name is Luck. And they have a church bell. And that bell had an inscription on it. I don't know if your bell up in the tower has writing on it or not. But this bell, think about it in terms of your faith. It says, to the bath. Your baptismal font was here. To the bath, to the word, to the prayers, and to the table, I call every seeking soul. To the bath, to the word, to the prayers, to the table, I call every seeking soul. That they could be a sanctuary for them to be refreshed and renewed and then go out in life again. Mother Teresa, I'm sure most of you know who Mother Teresa is. There was a time when someone left her a financial gift. And a year later, this person came back and wondered what she had done with that. And she goes to the back room and she brings out a beautiful Holy Communion set. And she said to this person, I felt they also needed some care for their spiritual lives. And to lift them beyond where they were to where they could again be. And we know that her caring did not stop. As she was empowered by God's love, she cared and cared and cared and cared. She provided a great sanctuary from life, but hoping that they could again go out and be a sanctuary for life. And we, even in our church today, hope to do much the same. Sometimes it is said that in churches we have two duties. And the first one is to really comfort the afflicted in life. That we become that sanctuary. We comfort the afflicted. But then sometimes this place can become too comfortable. And then they say our job is to afflict the comfortable and help them to go out in life and be what they could be as well. We need to be ready to be a welcome place and a caring place. As Jesus said, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. You may already know the story about this family who said that Jesus was coming for supper tonight. They were so ready and they had the house to spick and span and the meal on the table. But there was a knock at the door and someone was there and saying, you know, wait, we need our children are hungry. Do you have any bread to spare? And this person said, well, we would, but Jesus is coming tonight, so we have to be ready for that, and send him on the way. Another knock. What was at that time? We need some milk for the baby. No, I can't help you tonight. We have to be ready for Jesus to come. And there was a third one with another need, pressing need. And they could never figure it out because Jesus never came. Except Jesus did. Three times. Three times over. See, we never know who the Lord places before us to welcome and to care for in life. Just be ready. So the call for today then is the call to be free and the call to be caring. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to the darkness.
Our broadcast is concluded by a stirring rendition of Side by Side by the California Community Ensemble.